Carolyn Evers. And, of course, we brought someone that you all know and love, and that's Shirlene McNeil. Hi, Shirlene.
Hi there, everybody. Let's get on with the fun.
So, you want to play, huh?
Yeah, this is play.
Before we really get into playing, I wanted to talk a little bit about what is happening as far as this recent eclipse is concerned. And a lot of people have spoken, in the channeling world, have spoken about this new energy coming through. And, of course, with the conference calls that we have given with Mother Mary and Yeshua and Archangel Mikael, there has been a lot of talk about this particular eclipse. By the way, if you want to know about the conferences that we do, they're found at www.metatronminutes.com. They truly are marvelous conversations with the masters. And Lord Metatron had given us a conference on sacred geometry. We've had three of them at the moment, and we'll have one more if you want to sign up for it. There's four in the series, and they just have been remarkable. And so these are free conferences, and you can sign up for those at Metatron Minutes also, metatronminutes.com. And on August the 4th, he had given us, Shirlene, a discussion, the third discussion on sacred geometry, and I thought it was interesting because it had to do with the new energy that was coming in. And he spoke of things with regards to sacred geometry, the straight line representing the masculine, and the curve or the circle representing the feminine line. And basically that all parts of sacred geometry really come from those two lines. And we've seen things on television, on the internet, about the Mandelbrot set or fractals, something that we have found in, I guess through the microscope would be a way that science discovered that. And whether it's the Mandelbrot set or other sections of the Tree of Life, if you stop and think about it, they really all have to do with the straight line and the circle or the curve. It's all part of that. And if you're going to break that down, they're really the two forms that you see. And so what Lord Metatron said about this is that this, the feminine and the masculine, represented the love that was between Mother God and Father God, and how when creation came about, that what all of the different aspects of creation is actually is expressing this love between Father God and Mother God in some configuration. And that is a beautiful thought if you stop and think about it, that the very basic essence of sacred geometry is this relationship between Mother, Father, God. And, of course, I like this line. The circle in its softness represents Mother God, and in that configuration represents the divine feminine. I really like that statement. Isn't that cool, Shirlene? Isn't that a beautiful sentence?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what the new energy is, as far as Lord Metatron is concerned, with regards to sacred geometry, is the change in the love force as how we express the love force now, and the potential of the new energy that is coming in, and if we upgrade or step up the love force in, and you know, we've done a lot of talk about this with the heart center, the heart chakra, the beating heart, the heart mind. You know, Shirlene and I have spoken a lot about this, and so Lord Metatron spoke about this center and what it is going to mean to us if we step up our love and we change it a little bit, and I want to mention to you a little bit about what he says. And it's something that Charlene does all the time, Charlene. You go within the physical body, and it is, and I've done this on teaching people how to go within the physical, how to move within and see what's going on within the body. And so Lord Metatron is discussing this, and he talks about something that is so beautiful that you and I have seen, Charlene, and I know others, is the threefold flame that is in the heart center when we see it as the colors of pink, cayenne, and green, and how to sit in that and enjoy the energy of that love. Maybe what we need to do, Charlene, is talk about that a little later after we take some questions, showing people how to go within, how to see that pink, cayenne, and green in the heart center, and how to sit in that. When I do a Lord Metatron conference call and I show people how to do this, it is everybody comes back with that same reaction, the peacefulness of how it makes you feel to sit into that energy of the threefold flame. So I'll end this by just explaining what Lord Metatron has spoken about with regards to love, that to advance, true, we have to understand love, but not only feel it, but bring it forth so that it comes from the individual as an expression that could be energetically seen as a three-dimensional formation as the words of love come forth from your mouth. Now, this might sound a little bit complicated, but basically what he is saying is when you speak of love, and it is a higher advanced form of love, and if you went inside of the body like Charlene does and we talk about, and actually go in and look at the heart center, that we will energetically see this as a three-dimensional formation. And this was very fascinating when I was working with this with other people, that when the love force moves up in vibration and we look into the body as we speak of love, that we actually see this. Charlene, I don't know, have you tried that, dear? Have you thought of that?
You mean the colors within the heart center?
Well, when somebody is speaking of love, to go within and actually see that formation of what that looks like in the heart center, it might not be something that you thought of. I don't know. Have you done that? This is a recent thing that has come in, by the way, with the new energies.
Oh, well, most of the time if somebody's having a hard time because of their experiences, what'll happen is they start closing up heart center, so they won't feel or be heard anymore.
And so I know, isn't that sad?
Pardon?
I said, isn't that sad?
Yeah, and so there's times when God will tell me that their heart center isn't open, and so it's hard for him to come in and let them at least experience his love.
I'd like to mention something about that, Charlene. What I have found is when the heart center is closed, it's rather difficult to open that. But the other thing is when the heart center is closed, you can't bring in the high self into the heart to communicate with it. And so
that's still self. That's still God's love.
Yeah, and so what you're saying is very vital, that the heart center must be open. Anyway, this is a fascinating topic today. If any of you do call in, share with us your thoughts on several areas. Maybe some of the emotions, some of the experiences that you've had with the eclipse as it came in, because we are still feeling some of that integration. This was very powerful, and we're still feeling some of the integration of those energies into the physical body. The other thing, have you sensed a difference in how you feel when you are expressing love now. This is a higher loving emotion that has come in with the eclipse. And have you looked into the heart? Have you seen the threefold flame? And if you have, give us some of your experiences. I'd like to talk about this topic somewhat today. So give us a call. Give us some of your thoughts. And let's chat about this. So, Charlene, have you, since you work with people, matter of fact, before we get into that, how about explaining to individuals who maybe this is the first time that they have listened to our radio show, explain to them how you work.
Well, actually, I go in and with whoever their higher source is. If that, let's say that they have a goal or something that's not happening, maybe right now a lot of people are dealing with their finances. Sometimes it's not being resolved because it might be something that they were taught in the subconscious. And, of course, the subconscious is very obedient. And I can't say it's our obedient servant because it'll do whatever it's been programmed with from the conscious mind. So with God's doing the changing, we go in and ask that that programming that has been given to that individual from conception. Energy starts and life starts at conception. And so then we go in, I'll go into the theta state or quantum field. Some want to call it the God field, whatever their preference is. And have God go in and take out the information, the negative vibrational frequency of thoughts, sounds, and feelings. So we'll take them out and replace it with a positive. But I always ask the individual, what is it do you want to, what positive do you want to replace it with? And so then the subconscious becomes reprogrammed. It doesn't understand the other programming anymore because it's been reprogrammed by God. Then we also clear a past life that maybe that same behavior or thought patterns come through from. So we'll have God clear also a past life. He'll also clear a DNA. That's why it's important that we see what our pattern is that we raised with in the belief system. But usually our parents pick theirs up from somebody else, and those parents picked it up from somebody else. So there is no blame. It's to understand and release it. And then once that's released, we also release, because God's gone into the chromosome, and the major cell, which is the pineal gland, will start programming every single chromosome that is in the body with a new information that you give it to be programmed for. So it not only clears you, but your past generations, and it'll also clear the future generations. It won't be there to be passed on. And then he does the heart mind. The heart mind is a receiver and a transmitter. So once you've cleared all four of them, usually you'll start seeing those manifestations of your goals being coming into your life. That's a quick summary.
Oh my goodness, Darlene, the quick summary.
Yeah, that's a quick summary. It's kind of interesting. Most people will say, well, how long does it take? And I say, you know, I can't tell you how long, because sometimes I'll be doing a session, we think we're doing the clearing, and all of a sudden God will say, ask her if it's okay if I do this. And I don't know about anybody that I'm talking to on the phone, but we're energetically connected. When we become energetically connected, then God will just say that I have, I'm connected between that individual, and so God's really using me as a physical essence to connect between them and the client. So there's a lot of times you'll say, ask if this is okay, Because most of the time I won't do anything unless the client or God has given me permission. I won't go ahead and do it. In fact, I've had some clients say, well, do this for my husband. He really needs it. And I'll say, no, I can't do that. Thank you. So sometimes you have to be very aware that God does not interfere with free agency. That's the eternal principle.
Well, I understand that we have a caller, Charlene, and so let's speak to them. And what is your name, caller?
Helena.
Hi, Helena. What can we do for you?
Hi, Carolyn.
What can we do for you, dear?
I called a couple of months ago, and Charlene really, really helped me because at that point I just couldn't move. I felt so tired. And she pinned the nail on the head saying it was because I hated what I was doing and advised me to surround myself with sparkly green light. And it's helped. It's helped tremendously. I'm not feeling that brutal tiredness really. But now I still want to go forward. I find myself one of the jobs I'm doing I just still dislike very much. And I want to move ahead and get on, you know, an even keel financially. And I also see some doors that could be opening for me. And I feel a little bit of resistance inside and maybe a little fear and also some financial limitations. So any help would be so appreciated.
Do you have a feeling of what you should be drawn towards?
Yes.
Okay. Write this down. And everybody is listening. This is absolutely an important sentence because everything we think has a vibrational frequency on it. And when we have a vibrational frequency on the thought that we have, we speak it a lot of times, and that becomes our vibrational frequency of who we are. So watch what you think, what you feel, and what you say. And be very aware of those words, and you'll see that you're getting exactly what you're asking for. So when you're dealing with the financial, make sure that you put down everything is working in divine right order. Because sometimes you come up questioning yourself.
Yeah.
Especially after, you know, I've had people work, I have a session with somebody, and I say, that's one of the things you never want. I'm telling you, don't ever say, I can't believe it. Because you've just put a negative on top of the positive. And if it is a negative, just say, cancel. No, this is what I choose to think or verbalize. You know, be aware of what you say. And if you have to write it down, sometimes you have to have other people listen to you. I know I sure do. So you want more financial success.
Yeah, doing work that I love.
Well, do you know what that is yet?
Yeah, I have a goal, a creative goal, and it seems like there are people starting to come together that would want to work on it with me and make it happen.
Okay. And so what do you want put in there? Tell me. Let's have God put it in there.
What do I want to do?
I now have a job. So you put down how to state it. I now have a job I love.
I apologize. Say that again. I now have a job now?
Yeah, I now have a job I love at all times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's now, what I want.
Okay. Now I want you to eliminate the word want. Because want means future.
Yeah.
So you're gonna state it as if you already have the goal. I have somebody the other day that we worked on, and she wanted to sing. I said, oh, you want to sing? When do you want to? See, we're talking to the subconscious that has no capacity for reasoning. None whatsoever. It only is a will fleeing from the conscious mind what you think and say. So want means future. So if you take want out, what have you got? I have a job I love. My job is very creative. My job makes me what? Always remember that money is God in action. Did you get that?
Yeah, I did. I'm just writing it.
Good. See, what we're really in need of is to relearn how to think and verbalize. Because when I'm working with people, I have them, some of the times I just have them send me a letter with their goals in it so I can see, and then when they call, then what I do is help them reword it so that the subconscious, the energy field out there understands what you said, but you don't say it. It only creates what you say. And a lot of times we're saying the wrong things. It isn't what we really and truly want. So we say want, future. So you see, I have a job I totally love at all times. So it's not just for a month or a week. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I'm familiar with that. But may I ask you, what happens then when I'm working one of my jobs that I dislike and then a flurry of negative thoughts and words comes over me at that point, and I'm feeling
really,
like, and
really
even though...
Know. I'm sorry. Say it to me again. You're breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. What happens when I'm doing a job that I really dislike and then all this, I'm starting to feel all this negativity about it emotionally, mentally, and I'm saying negative things as well?
Okay, what you're going to do is you're going to say everything is working in divine right order so that you don't get into the negative. Because we work in places that have negative. We've gotten so adjusted to hearing the negative.
Yeah.
If you were a positive and you spoke positive all the time, I heard this one, then you say, see, nothing but the positive. You see, seeing and speaking the negative is nothing but a habit. It becomes an addictive behavior to speak the negative rather than the positive. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, so even though I may feel like I don't like what's going on,
right?
Keep thinking the positive, saying the positive.
Otherwise, you're speaking it and you're putting it in your field.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, you're putting the negative in the field once you spoke it.
Yeah.
And if you step back and say, well, you know, everything's working in divine right order. I know that God now knows my situation. And remember, it's the God within you that's doing the work.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's another one I want you to repeat. You can do this, all of you, when you're in a negative environment, whether it's at home or at the store or whether you're working or where you're at, you just always know that you've asked God for help and then let him help you. But you've got to be very careful about the words that you're putting out afterwards, because you're creating the vibrational frequency along with the rest of them.
Yeah, I am. I agree with that, yeah.
Okay, and what will happen to you will that your vibrational frequency will raise to a point that in most cases those kind of individuals that are in that space won't hang out around you. They'll be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So write this down and then let's go in and see if we can go into the quantum field and have this job that you really love to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creative. will manifest itself immediately rather than saying want, because that's future.
Yeah, yeah.
And then let God put it in the place it's supposed to, but we'll be very precise. Here's another one that we can write down. I deny loss. There is no loss in divine mind.
Yeah.
Well, Charlene, we need to be moving on, dear. If you're going to go in and do some work for her, can we do that now, please?
Okay. Let's see how that goes, okay?
I will. Thank you, Shirley.
Oh, before you go, Helena,
yeah.
I want to mention one thing to you, and this might be helpful. In your, wherever you work, whether it's at home or in the office, I don't know if you can play music either on headphones or something, but play some music that is, in a higher dimension. For instance, there's an individual called Stephen Halpern. I play his music all the time. Are you familiar with him?
I am. I have several CDs.
Well, play those CDs more, because what his music does is takes you to the alpha state. Did you know that? Because if you would play more of his music and listen to it when you have spare time, or you will find that this helps to raise your vibration.
Okay. Thank you.
And that might help you, dear, because I think it's very important when you're thinking of things that bring your vibration down to listen to some music that will take your vibrations higher.
Good. Thank you for that suggestion.
You're welcome, dear. And I believe we have another caller on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Charlene. It's Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. This eclipse, in hindsight, was real difficult. I feel like I got really fooled by someone, and I, as you know, am struggling with depression and anxiety, and finally decided to go back on medication, and I'm wondering if maybe hormonal replacement will help me with the anxiety.
Well, before we go there, I just want to mention something about the energies that came in with the eclipse. They were very powerful. And I think any imbalances that a person might have in the physical, this would have swayed it a little bit more. And so maybe it's a passing thing until these energies become more integrated and settle down. So I want to mention that to you. In other words, I don't think the imbalance is a permanent thing. I would just like to offer a little bit of encouragement along those lines, Pat, that what came in was extremely powerful, and what we have been told in the conference calls is that the energy first came to our spiritual subtle body, and we are retrieving it gradually, and it couldn't all come in at one time in the consciousness. It was that powerful. And so I just wanted to tell you that so you know that this is what you were dealing with. Does that help a little bit?
Well, that's good news that, you know, more will be coming in, but...
So what I'm trying to say to you is you were walking through a doorway that energetically would have been very difficult for you. That's all I'm saying. And just to give you a little perspective as to what happened, that it might not be as bleak as it seems to you at the moment. That's all I mean.
Okay.
Because you're feeling discouraged because of this emotional change. And that's all I'm trying to say, is you were dealing with something that was powerful, and it's not necessarily a permanent thing. That's what I'm trying to express. So, well, yeah, let Charlene help you with this, my dear.
Okay, Pat. What is it that you wanted to have done? What is it?
I can't hear you.
She said that she's feeling depressed, Charlene. She's feeling depressed.
And the anxiety is just, you know, ever since pretty much I went into menopause 10 years ago, I've had huge episodes of it, and I feel that that interferes more with the depression. I'm wondering if you can tell if hormonal therapy will help, and Charlene, if you can help me get to the root of this.
Okay. Let's go in and ask God if it's the hormones. You could go have your hormones checked by your doctor. A lot of people, when they go into menopause, they lose a great
deal. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
When people go into menopause, they lose, can you hear me?
Barely.
Oh, okay, did it before. Okay, just a minute. It's as far as I can get it.
I
might have to have Carolyn. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. When you go into menopause, what it does is start shutting down some of your estrogen. And when the estrogen shuts down, then people get depressed.
Yeah.
You know, and so that makes a lot of difference on your sense of well-being if you don't have enough estrogen. But what I'll do is go in and have God have the hypothalamus gland secrete more estrogen. And let's see if that'll help you, okay?
Okay.
Let's do that now. Is there anything else that you want him to do at the time?
If he can look at the root of this anxiety, and if I can just get rid of that.
Okay.
My grandmother was like this.
Yeah, but she, you know, like you came up with having your hormones checked is a good choice. Nobody would have ever done anything on it then. They just said that's part of life.
Charlene? While you're there, dear, how about checking on the DNA and see if this is something?
Right.
Because she said your grandmother or someone in the family had this problem. Yeah, so it might be something genetically through the DNA.
Yeah, I've got down to check her DNA.
Yeah.
We'll have God go in and check on that. Because obviously it is. So let's do that now, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, depression is difficult. I certainly can have empathy for you, Pat, because when a person is depressed, it's so hard going through the daily routine with a positive sense of well-being.
Yes, that's really hard. You know, there's much talk about, you know, what you think you manifest, and I end up really feeling not so great about myself because I just can't get my thinking in a positive place. And I actually feel that the anxiety interferes with that more than depression. I've had myself off medication for almost 2 years, and it's difficult to kind of give in and go back on it. But
Pat, have you ever gone inside of your body and asked what the anxiety is about?
Yes. And
what answer do you get?
I see this energy of just absolutely shaking with fright. And I suppose intellectually, I've guessed that abandonment and I think real terror at abandonment and in this life is major anxiety about security of home and finances.
So you've had that issue as you were growing up?
Say it again.
As you were growing up, was that an issue of security and finances in the family?
There was always fighting about it, but actually around age six, I became agoraphobic. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to hide it because my family was so unwilling to acknowledge things. So I lived with it hidden, which was a real strain.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And without looking at that myself, it sounds to me like there might be a past life connection.
I've never really acknowledged to myself how difficult that was to go through life with that, hiding
it. Of course it was, because one must face their emotions to clear them. And what was happening here is this was coming up. You weren't allowed, you weren't given the freedom to go within and to face it and clear it. And the fact of the matter is, we cannot clear anything until we acknowledge it. So you were forced to carry around this issue that needed to be cleared until it got to the point where it became a real emotional problem for you. But my feeling is that this can be cleared easily. I want to wait until Charlene, are you back yet?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, dear. What did you find out?
Well, I actually put down that it was, he had the hypothalamus. Well, okay, back up. There's a connection within the brain that activates the hypothalamus. I've not seen that one before, but there was part of the brain that was not being activated. And that is also part of the DNA. So he cleared the DNA from that. You inherited that part of the DNA. So then cleared it so that the hypothalamus is now secreting more estrogen, progesterone, and he's also put in 2% more testosterone. Because you have to have all three in order to have a balance.
Right.
Okay, and then
that should make a big difference.
So who did all three for you? And then the other is the DNA's belief system is that when you get older, you're going to be having these issues because of you've gone through not menstruating anymore, and women get older, and that's what you expect. And they go through all of that memory that's been taught to you from childhood on and past generations. And God never created us to be miserable. And so he changed that in your subconscious and your DNA.
Carolyn, could you explain that? I couldn't hear her.
Carolyn?
Yes. She couldn't hear you. Pat couldn't hear you, Charlene, so I'm going to see if I can help her.
Okay.
About the DNA and getting older?
Oh, that part.
Yeah.
She's questioning what you said about the thoughts, the attitude that when someone gets older, that they're going to be suffering from hormonal changes. Isn't that basically what you said?
Yes, that's it. That's what I said.
So what she's saying there, Pat, is it was a theory or a thought that wasn't accurate, but you were suffering because of it. You know, that's a thought not only with you, but with a lot in our community. You know, women think this. Doctors say that. I think in a sense they are putting power to that thought, that just because a woman is getting older, then the system's going to close down and we're going to have all these problems, and it doesn't have to be. And so what Charlene is saying, that it's a basic thought that women, that have been impressed upon women, that may not be true.
Uh-huh. Isn't just may not, it isn't true.
It doesn't have to be that way.
No. I've had more people that clients that we've gone in and changed the DNA, and they haven't had hot flashes again.
Well, you know what we're saying here is the medical profession tells us something, and we accept it as written in stone. And so
yeah.
Some of the things, I mean, I've had that happen myself, that doctors have told me things and I believed them and had more problems over it, where then I realized, well, gee, that doesn't have to be, and changed my attitude. So we inherit some of this. You were working, Shirley, and I want to discuss a little something about what Pat had to say. She was talking about emotions that she had as a child. One of them, that there was arguments in the family over finances. And she was really not able to clear any of that anxiety. In other words, she had anxiety over seeing disagreements and hearing disagreements in the family. And she never had an opportunity to clear it, because the family just wouldn't let her discuss it, or wouldn't finalize it or deal with it. And so she held this in all through childhood. And so now these emotions probably still aren't cleared.
They probably are not. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I became agoraphobic. I don't know what that had to do with anything, but at age 6. And I had to hide it from my family.
Pat, do me a favor, dear. We have two other people on the line waiting to chat with us. This is a two-hour show. Would you call back at a time when we have a lull and we can discuss this with you again? Today or another day? Later on today. Give us a chance to chat with some other people and then call us later. Is that okay?
Wonderful. Thank you both.
Good,
bye-bye.
Dear. Bye. And our next caller...
Yes.
Who is this?
Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary. I just love it when you give us a call. That kind of set us straight.
No, really. You're coming straight from source. I can hear it in the tonality of your voice. Never argue with that.
Oh, really? You think this is coming from source, huh?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I can tell the difference.
I just love it. I'm really talking through a megaphone here. You just think it's source. So, what can we do for you, dear?
Well, something I picked up I wanted to offer for consideration for some individuals to look at. What was the punishment for someone that couldn't produce a child on demand?
That's very fascinating. You're talking about past cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that some of them were killed.
I'm thinking about
some of these wives of kings and princes and so forth. If they couldn't have an heir to pass on, they took care of them. I could think of Anne Boleyn, for instance. She lost her head over it.
And she did produce a child, but not the right one. And
not the right sex, huh?
I think sometimes the terror about this whole thing when the past life comes up is absolutely justified, unless you can release it. And that's what you and Charlene are doing so beautifully, is taking all of this and just bringing it up and saying, not now, goodbye. And thank you. Not coming down.
I love your down-to-earth wisdom. It's so beautiful. I'm just thinking of these poor women who didn't produce a child, and so now they're imagining somebody's chasing them with this big carving knife, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you lost your head over it, you're be a little fearful. Interesting thought, Rosemary. Leave it to you to bring up some great wisdom here.
Well, I think it's happened more often than we'd like to admit in the history of this particular sojourn. It's like, no.
Well, you know, if you go back to primitive ages even, I mean, I think it goes back that far. Just recently, in this lifetime, I had a lady who came from another state, and she stayed in my house while she was going to the hospital here in Maryland doing some fertility work so she could actually have children, which she did, and it was so beautiful. But one of the things that she said, which was so sad, is even today in her country, a woman was cursed and looked down upon if she didn't have children.
Wow.
Wow is right, and it's so sad just to even think of that in this day and age, that women would be held in contempt like that if they didn't bear children.
Hmm. Yeah. And then an aside, you just kind of like, and one of the things, if you're looking to have a child, I would strongly suggest is sit down and talk with the infinite and say the kind of soul you wish to bring into manifestation and be very, very specific about, I wish to bring a child of light to share with the world, one of intelligence, one who doesn't have any angst, but who wants to enjoy the journey and the joy and the spirit. And that's the kind of child I want to bring up in my home.
You know, that's a beautiful thought, Rosemary. I think there is a lot of truth to that. When I was having my children, I was so unaware of those kinds of thoughts. And fortunately, I stood in line and God gave me some good ones.
Well, I added that I wanted one that was a genius, and when he took all my makeup and started doing chemistry experiments with it because he was really smart, I went, oh.
You got what you asked for, huh?
Yes, you always do.
And so what's this chemistry genius doing now?
Oh, he's doing just fine. He's off in the world. You know, the funny thing about children is they're like kites. Unless they're flying, they're not happy. But when they're on the other end of the string, they're far, far away from you, and you don't get to see them as much as you'd like.
So they're like kites, huh?
They're happiest when they're flying free. They really are. They're beautiful. And occasionally they will send messages home.
Yeah, but you know, there's some advantage to that. You know that?
Yeah, there are. But it's all this wonderful consciousness, and you know there's no space, there's no time. And you can be with that person in love anytime you want. And that's what this joy that's coming to us all is. It's not love. Our love isn't dependent on real estate and someone being really in the room. It's just that our love has extended out beyond all boundaries. And we can love that person right now in that moment without them ever having to be in the room. Or feeling that we've lost something because they're not in the room.
Hmm.
That's part of the great joy that this energy is bringing to us.
How many children have you had?
Two.
Well, I had five, and I'll tell you, I enjoy being an empty nester.
I understand a lot of that. There's many ways to do it, when I married my husband, I said, I promise you a 10-year honeymoon, then you're going to have to get a real job and go to work and raise twins.
So, my darling, everything is relative. You know, just you could see them all on, you know, special holidays and whenever you want to, and it's
mm-hmm.
I enjoy being an empty nester myself. I always said, raising those five, the day is going to come when I'm going to be able to do exactly what I want to do. And it is now.
And that's the greatest joy. Speaking of now, what I'm doing is working on two things, and I just don't quite have a handle on it. I mean, I'm working on it diligently and with prayer. And what I'm looking for from both of you lovely, incredible light beings is some assistance with clearing. I know what's left in my kidneys is grief, and I don't know all of it, and I really don't want to relook at it. And I know this year is a year I will heal it, but I would like some assistance with it.
Charlene, why don't you work on helping her to clear her grief?
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, when they say it's agitated depression, you don't even know what you're depressed about. You're just agitated. And you even don't even know the reason why. But I just would like it changed because I feel I would have much more courage in the world if I wasn't dancing with that grizzly bear.
Well, Charlene,
so
you'll help her, won't you, dear?
Your grief is over loss, right?
I think this is grief for me.
Okay, for the loss of somebody that has died or over your lifetime or?
Over my lifetime.
Okay. Of where you're at now and what you expect it to be.
Where I'm at now is in a place of absolute bliss and joy and happiness,
okay.
and I don't understand why it won't move.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like when you get to a place of safety and the past wants to come, you know, play like pop up on you.
Okay, let's ask God if it's a past life. That's what it hangs on.
Okay.
Okay, we'll just ask. Okay.
All right.
Do you ever work with the solar plexus? They know that is the power seat.
If I need to work with it, I will work with it. I thought it was in alignment, but I'm not sure. But
it is in alignment, and we have this protocol working with the Hara on one of our websites. www.metatronminutes.com. Have you ever worked with that?
I do that twice a day now.
Wonderful.
There's no way I want my old life back. I'd like the one that's courageous, and I want to have more courage.
Because I really have found myself that working with that protocol, it really makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And when I connect the horizontal line with the vertical line, for instance, and you put your hand over the solar plexus when you do it, you really can feel your power coming in. At least I can.
Yeah, and so many of us are absolutely afraid of our power. We're afraid of the misuse of it. And the statement is, I'd rather not have it if I'm going to misuse it again.
Well, some of it's from misuse, but I suspect also that some of it is from, in the past, the divine feminine has been trampled on when the masculine was very strong. A woman who was strong could have lost her life also. I'm just thinking of all the times we lost our life over all these issues. Oh my.
Just so silly. I remember for years I walked around and said, God, I forgive everybody. Now can I have my complete and total power back? I'll be good this time.
Oh, my.
You know, God has a sense of humor. He really, really, she does. It's just incredible. The divine feminine has a sense of humor. And
I
wants
think so.
This incredible conversation with us. And we need
indeed.
Tell me
how you're feeling, Rosemary.
Better. My left kidney is feeling so much better.
You know how to go within. Envision the heart beating or the breath. Go in and ask what it is about the fact that this is the left kidney.
I'm seeing some really unpleasant things. I'm seeing some physical beatings.
Oh, so you've got some dark entities that need to be cleared. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Some physical beatings. That needs to clear. You know, there's nobody I want to hang on to. I just want to go into more into the light and the greatness of it.
Are you seeing that, Charlene?
No, I think it's clear.
Okay.
Wow.
I think it's clear. Because I was asking that question about the left as opposed to the right, that was a clue.
Mm.
To ask why it was the left. When you meditate on that, give that some thought.
I think it probably is some things that were, Charlene's really good. They were stuck in the vibrational field that I just needed a little bit of assistance to focus on it and say goodbye.
Well, now that you said goodbye, I'll mm-hmm. meet her soon.
Peter Zane program.
Sayonara.
You've been, thank you and goodbye. Good. You have been so helpful in suggesting that you may see the experience, but program a different way of perceiving the experience or seeing yourself walk away from that experience and saying, thank you, it was an experience, but I can choose something different. So there's something else in your field to choose from. Thank you.
Well,
the grief was pretty heavy in your past life.
Yeah.
So that's been released, the grief in your past life. It was heavier
Thank
there
you.
Than in the others.
Well, yeah. Whoa, that's cool. Waterworks has started in my eyes. It's just tears are running down my face. Thank
Aww.
You. Well, those tears are holy water. I mean, they just let go of the back.
Holy water. Okay, well, you have a holy day, darling.
Thank you ever, ever so much. And thank you both for the good work that you do and for the light you carry. Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome,
you,
sweetheart. Bye. Before we go to the next caller, Charlene, why don't you give your phone number, please, in case people want to call. And yeah.
Oh, yeah, 801-944-9346.
And tell people what time you're on.
Oh, Mountain Standard Time.
Gives them an idea as to when they should call you.
Anytime, except, at night, Don't call me after 10 p.m.
Sounds good, dear. And, yes, do check out my website at MetatronMinutes.com, Metatron Soul Healing. They are quite remarkable. The work that Lord Metatron brings forth with people is truly spectacular. And so we're ready for the next caller, please. What is your name? I didn't hear.
Oh, hi, I'm Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, I wanted to tell you, I found out about this because I've been reading Metatron Minutes and getting Carolyn's and Richard's emails, and I'm really tickled about this, especially what you're talking about today. I'm 52 and been going through menopause. In fact, I'm reading or going to get the book Energy Medicine, hoping that will help me. And what I wanted to look at is what things can help me align, and I've been just eating everything in sight. Also, I'm a playwright, and I get nervous about my work, too, and when I get nervous, I just eat.
Yeah, I understand.
And I'm working through that.
I understand. Do you eat even though it's moving?
Yeah, I just eat. I'm working.
That was a joke, dear.
Okay, I get it.
That went over your head, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I saw this cooking class where this guy was talking to someone in the market, and where they were, they eat this oh, it was kind of like squid, and they were still moving.
Oh, God.
And I thought, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. And because the men couldn't eat it, all the ladies were laughing.
Well, I just would like my energy to be settled and not wanting to just reach for food out of fear and also to get my hormones back in balance.
Well, it sounds to me like, Charlene, this is your work cut out for you today, dear.
Okay. Let's go in and look at that. Let's see which ones that needs to be corrected, okay? You don't want to eat out of fear or anxiety.
Anxiety, fear, and like I said, I'm working on a play, and I'm raising money for it, too, so that probably is helping the fear a little bit.
Okay.
So while Charlene's doing this, tell me, Kim, what's the topic of your play?
17th century slavery in Brazil.
Oh, my goodness. That's, well, 17th century, that's interesting. Slavery.
Well, because in Brazilian
history.
How in
the world did you get to Brazil?
I love it. It's just when I read the material, I cry. I just love it. This part of the history has these beings who came into the planet just to help people heal their pictures around, and they were freedom fighters. And so I'm actually writing about them and the spirits connected to them. And
well, how did you get this idea? That's intriguing.
Oh, totally.
How did you get the idea, Kim?
When I was in my 20s, I went to a theater. And the show was on Quilombo. And I forgot that I was watching a film. And I sat in the theater and I just started crying hysterically. And I couldn't, my friends got embarrassed and dragged me outside of the theater, I guess to catch my breath. And one night I was just emailing and looking and reading and researching about, and that happened in my 20s. About 2.5 years ago, I started talking to the director of the film, and he meant it as a healing for people. Because he wrote
the script. Oh, do you think you had a past life with that?
I think so. Because it's too intense for me, you know, and it would have to be a past life. And I feel like I'm ending something when I work on it.
Well, I think perhaps you are. You're clearing something by the fact that you're writing it. I have written things myself, and when I wrote it, it cleared a past lifetime. So you could
totally.
Very well.
I read your stuff on Caesar. Caesar's daughter.
That was one of my lifetimes. Yeah. And I wrote a movie on that and working on having that done. I'd like to be able to sell it because it's a beautiful love story.
It has so much passion in it. And just that by itself, I can totally understand how you feel.
Oh, yes,
like
because
something.
Julia was in love with someone who was her soulmate, and in essence, her father had him killed. And
wow.
So it's quite a movie.
Well, you think you'll be getting it done anytime in the next year or two?
No, the script is done. It's working with it to sell it.
That's where I am right now. I've been praying a lot. And I mean, I'm really praying to get the right funders the whole bit. I'm actually doing a remake of the movie and a play of the movie. Both.
Well,
and
the topic, you know, the topic is remarkable.
Oh,
it truly is. And I think there's a real place for this. And it has a spiritual message. And it's the same with my movie also.
Love. The idea, everything is run by love.
Yeah.
And that love never dies.
That's right. So what is the name of your, what's the name of your movie?
Quilombo. It was made in 1984.
Quilombo?
Quilombo is an African Angolan word that means encampment, because during slavery time, these people created this universe. Every race was there while the country was in slavery, they were living as free people. And they were fighting off the Portuguese and the Dutch, trying to invade them to bring them back into slavery.
Cool.
So it's real, and their kingdom lasted for almost 100 years, and it had up to 30,000 people in it at one time, and they were remarkable.
Wow.
Yeah. That's marvelous. Let's see if Charlene is back.
Okay.
I'm back. What he did was increase your estrogen. Did you assume that your estrogen was low? Kim?
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you have some symptoms that your estrogen was low?
Oh, God, totally. My skin, my body, I couldn't sleep. And when I'd sleep, I'd wake up tired and a lot of just pain.
Okay.
Body pain.
And you might increase your potassium.
You know what? That's true, because sometimes I get cramps, and immediately I take potassium, and I feel better.
Yeah, you're going to have more potassium, okay?
Okay.
And then the other thing is you cleared it on all levels, on the past life, on your subconscious level, on your DNA, and also on your heart mind, the anxiety that you have, and then took out the fear and of when you're stressed. And you're just going to put in it, I thought it was really interesting how he put in that you will always come up with everything is working in divine right order. I gave this issue to God, and he's helping me with it.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
So everything
is working in divine right order?
Right order. So right. Then put peace in there and calmness.
Yeah.
Reassurance that since you are the essence of God, he's not going to let himself fail. He's not going to let you fail.
And that will help the overeating?
Well, yeah, because what he did was pull that out. So that you don't reach for food when you have those emotions.
Right. Because it's so easy.
The food comes in to help you supplement your anxiety. And then it calms you down.
Exactly. It's it was addiction.
Yeah. So that's all been pulled out. So let's see how well you do with that now.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
You won't reach for food. Now, you've got a behavior pattern going there. And so what happens is once all of this other starts coming in, then you'll start noticing the behavior pattern is changing.
Oh.
Because all of your cells have to be reprogrammed.
And now, so basically to reprogram, I need to talk to my cells to get them to reprogram?
Nope, God already did it for you.
God is good.
Yeah, he did it for you.
Well, that's been like a lifetime issue. I'm curious, is it coming from a past life or this? Because my mom and her side of the family is genetic. Everyone overeats.
Well, there's different reasons. But he cleared it on a past life. Your fear is what? I won't get enough.
Oh.
So you reach for the food. And food has become your nurturer, your caretaker.
Exactly.
Yeah. But he took that out and put his love in there instead.
Put God's love in.
Yeah.
You know, I've been going to overeaters, I have a 12-step program for it. And I still will go because I think they're very helpful. But you're really saying the addiction energy is really taken out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you for calling back. And let's see how it's going, because sometimes I can only do a certain amount on the radio. You know, we only have a certain time frame. And so if it's still, if there's anything, any residue hanging over from this, then it means there's another belief system associated with it that also needs to be cleared.
And you take appointments with people, too.
Yeah.
Give out the phone number again, Charlene.
Please do.
It's 801-944-9346.
9346. And your mountain time.
Yes.
Well, thank you. This has been, for the first time in about a year or two, when I started doing these exercises for menopause, I'm actually, for the first time, actually feeling a little bit better.
Okay,
and that's always nice.
Uh-huh. But I think you got enough estrogen there.
Well, call us back and let us know how things go, dear.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
And so we have another caller on the line. What's your name, caller? Hi.
Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. I talked to you back last September, and I was the one that was taking photographs of Elemental.
Yes. I remember that. Tell us what happened.
Well, I'm working on it. I'm having to sort, and I'm writing as I can, as I think of something. I'm having to sort photographs to try to get them in the same category.
Uh-huh.
And, it comes off and on. It just flows very easily. I ordered two different discs to try to put this in a book form, and they just weren't for me. And I don't know if I just ordered some that were not proper or what. I have so many subjects, different little categories, because I came up with, when I got started, I came up with 85 different little subjects. So somewhere I had to stop, and I didn't get through. I just quit. You know, it was late at night, and I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. But I can't change any of those. They are real. And what I was going to ask, you said if you call back and you could tell me from the Akashic Records of where this started and why, what lifetime. And the other thing is, am I ever going to be able to see them?
Oh, you mean you don't see them except when you take a picture?
Right. I'll kind of feel they're in the area. They used to give me little signs of when they'd be around, which is kind of tickling.
I have found, though, that this seems to be true with people who are working with these. What I usually hear is that people don't see them. They when they take the picture, they are seen. And it's like you feel like something's there, and you take the picture, and then you see it because you're communicating with them on a level that you don't understand. Does that make sense?
Right. I know the salamanders are, you know, I can just ask them. They'll always get out there and put on a show for me. I didn't ask them for a long time, and when I say salamanders, I said, told this fellow that had written some books on gnomes, I said, they're just beautiful. And they didn't seem to understand, and I better keep my mouth shut till I get these photographs out. Because what other people had were not near what I had. I'll put it that way.
All I'm trying to say is you may have difficulty seeing them, but what you need to do is just what you're doing. You have a psychic connection with them, and when you feel that they are nearby, they're giving you a clue, and you take a picture. As you can tell, they're very ethereal. You know what I mean?
Oh, they are, right.
So they're very ethereal, and you're not, your eyes are such that they're not developed enough to be able to see them with the naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain that. Years ago, you did see them in a primitive lifetime. And what has happened is, in our modern age, we live a lot under lighting. You know, we live with all kinds of lighting that's not natural.
Mm-hmm.
And so the eyes, the ability to see, changes somewhat. And if you think about ancient cultures, they were not living in artificial light. You know, they lived, their work was separated according to the waking hours, the hours of sunlight and the you know, when the sun came up and when the sun went down, people worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so sight was very different then. The eyes were accustomed to be able to see into a dimensional level that we're not seeing now. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes, yes.
And so you worked with these then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does this resonate when I say this? You came in promising to work with them. Does that resonate with you?
No. I never heard of them.
Point. That wasn't my question.
Go
back to the time. Just think about the time before you came to Earth when you were planning this lifetime. Just think of that. And when I say to you, this was part of your plan as to what you were going to do when you came into this lifetime, how does that make you feel? Do you resonate with that thought?
Not really. I hadn't thought about it that much. I do know that we plan our lives. And I have wondered a few times, was this part of it, you know? Because when it started...
People wondered about it. There's a level that in your consciousness that you understand this.
Mm-hmm.
You wondered about that. And I would like to propose to you that this was something that you promised to do, that when you came into this lifetime, that you would do this. And the reason, think about it for a second. Go back into your thoughts, into your mind. What might be the reason for you to bring forth this information?
I just kind of thought a few times that people were feeling lonely, and this, they are there. They play little tricks on you. They are company. They're helpful.
But in a sense, isn't this a spiritual reason? In other words, this is the workings of spirit, of a part of life that people are not that familiar with, and you are making them, helping to make them aware that there is another aspect to life.
Well, it bothers me if people don't treat flowers and plants properly, because there's so much there in them. There's so many elementals around them. And even when they're dying or cleared up, elementals are still there. They're just a little different.
Well, let me suggest something to you, that years ago in our ancient historical period, it was intended that the human race work with elementals. This is an intelligence, a connection between the plant world, between the workings actually inside the earth, and there was a connection. We cooperated with the elementals. It was intended that we would cooperate with the elementals, that we would be part of this creative plan. Humanity, the elementals, the earth, and human beings forgot about this, and now it is the complete workings of elementals. Elementals have the responsibility for all of this. And when people pay attention to the elementals, it brings a lot of joy to them.
I think it does. I think it brings a lot of peace to them. Yeah.
Yes, because they are very aware of the fact that human beings were supposed to be working with them in helping to organize and regulate the earth, the planet. You know, flowers and trees and the actually the energy system.
Right.
And so what you have done and what you're doing is you're coming back and you are reminding people, and you're reminding them in such a way that you're showing them the photograph. So in other words, instead of just coming in and talking about this, you're taking the pictures and you're showing this to people. In other words, this is the proof.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't talk about it unless I had the proof.
Right.
They think you're a little crazy, and they do anyway, I think.
No, they don't. It's
well,
just
I have them to look
talk to about it.
And, well.
Julie, there's a lot of people who are receptive to this.
Okay.
They might not be in your circle of friends, but
oh, no.
There are a lot of people who are receptive to the unseen world. And this is really you are doing. You see, you are alerting people to an unseen world, and you are showing them photographs. Look, I'm telling you about something. Here's the photograph. This is what I'm telling you about.
Uh-huh.
And what you're going to be doing is opening up people's hearts, because what's happening is we've come full circle, and it's time for humanity to take on their responsibilities again. And some of the responsibility is to take more care of the earth, to be more loving towards the earth, to participate in the creative processes with the earth again. Do you see how important this work is of yours?
Well, I think so. I don't know if the rest of the people will, but for a long time, because they're everywhere. They're just everywhere. They're in everything. And I just thought if we don't learn to honor them and to listen to them, I think they must have been here to teach us when we were so primitive. We didn't know how to eat or take care of ourselves. But I really felt that they were here to teach us.
Well, there's so many threads to this. You know, there's a lot of layers to it. And the more people, first of all, people have to become aware of it. Then when they become aware of it, they study it. And then when they study it, they start communicating with it. I mean, you're starting a process here.
Well, there's not a lot to study about them. I found one or two people in Holland in a couple of places that know what I'm talking about, but they don't seem to have near what I do in the photo. Theirs was just a lark, and you know, a few little things showed up. But mine will show up consistently if I go out to take the photo. You know.
Well, organize it. I'd like to give you a little bit of encouragement. Organize what you have to do, Joy. I think you really have something to say to the world.
Okay.
Now, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Not really. I just wondered if this was another lifetime with me. And
well, you did. You worked with those. Let me see. You worked with those in a very ancient time. I see a period where humanity would have been considered primitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were working with them. And it was a period of time when humanity could actually see these beings, because their eyes, the vision, they, as I said to you earlier, humanity wasn't working with incandescent lighting. They were just using the natural lighting in the world, and so they were able to see these beings. And I also see you as one who was working with nature. You were working with the fairies and the divas.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, as extraordinary as that sounds, there really are fairies and divas.
There are. It's been hard to. Well, as time goes on, I go back to some of your first pictures and I see other things I didn't see the first time. It's like we're totally blind, because if they're around the plants and the flowers and things, maybe their head's one color, their body's another, and their legs are another. So it's kind of hard all of a sudden, you know, to pick them out. because they really are in disguise.
Well, what's happening here, Joy, is, you see, first you had to become aware of it. What you are going through right now is what you're going is going to happen to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You become aware of it, and it's a strange occurrence, and it takes a little time to become adjusted to the fact that this might be real. And then when you start becoming accustomed to it and you start studying it a little bit and you open up and you become more aware of what it is, then you start seeing these other things.
Well,
I'd like to give you a little thought. Back in the times of ancient Rome, they believed in the divas and the sprites. They considered them the goddesses of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Because they saw them.
That's wonderful.
They honored them.
That's wonderful. Right.
And, you know, some of these stories about the Irish with the leprechauns. See, what do you think they are?
Well, I do believe the leprechauns. I've gotten photographs of them, or I've got one good one in the tree. And
that's the point that I'm trying to make, my dear. These are real beings.
They are. I've pulled every book that I could find, and now, you know, that might be real or truthful.
My darling, you're forgetting something. You are here to write the book.
I think you're probably right.
You are here to write the book.
When these people make stuff up, I get so angry. And I almost called in a show the other night, and a guy that was telling about how evil the fairies and all were, and I thought, oh, gosh, he don't get shot before he gets out of there. Anyway, I thought, how could he put out such stuff? So they finally asked him, where did you get your information? He said, oh, literature and stuff from Ireland. I thought, oh, God. People will believe
it. That's why you're taking pictures.
That they will probably believe it because they are so wonderful. I can't think of having a bad thought around them.
Well, my darling, you're here to write the book. You've got your pictures now. All I can say is get on with it. You've got a wonderful project here.
Well, it is. It's fabulous, but, you know, you have to live, too, and you have other things you have to do to survive.
True.
So just remember, it's
divine.
It is divine, right.
And
you're right.
And God will open up a way for you to write it, and it's going to be quite soon.
Oh, I hope so. I'm having a hard time getting it all together.
It's right.
I get too excited. I've got too much material, I think.
What? No.
You don't think so?
he'll help you put it together, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Charlene.
Yeah, he's going to help you.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a good day, and I thank you.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. You know what I meant to ask Joy? Is if she got any pictures of centaurs. Joy, if you hear us, darling, call me back and let me know if you got a picture of a centaur. And, you know, that's the half man, half horse. I want to know if you got a picture of that. Well, do we have any other callers waiting to get on? Okay, well, Charlene, we don't have a caller waiting for right now to talk to us, so how about you giving your telephone number out one more time?
Okay, it's Mountain Standard Time, 801-944-9346. If I don't answer the first time, please keep calling me back.
Well, I'll vouch for that. Charlene, I call her sometimes and she doesn't call me back, and it's not because she's ignoring me. She's just such a powerful woman. She just blows all of the messages off her recorders sometimes.
Yeah. I've got four right now so I can double up on them, and the other day there was only on one of them. So I have to check all four all the time.
So we're talking about an energy lady here.
Yeah.
And
Just call me back if I don't answer.
Right.
Don't think I've given up on you. I might not have got the message. So call me back.
So with, I have several web pages, CarolynEvers.com and Metatron Minutes, M-E-T-A-T-R-O-N, Minutes.com. There's a lot of newsletters there to read. These are questions that people had sent in and asked Lord Metatron to give answers to. And so he did, and we put out newsletters with his answers. And also, I'd like to mention that the Lord Metatron soul healing sessions are quite remarkable. They are marvelous. And in addition to that, we have a lot of free conference calls that we do with Lord Metatron. This last series is on sacred geometry that we're working on. And also, there is his conference call that you can join, and all the conference calls are mentioned on that website also. So there seems to be a lull in the callers right now, Charlene. Is there something that perhaps you want to talk about at the moment?
Oh, well, let's see.
The answer is no.
No, not right at the moment, no. No, I think that one of the things that you brought up before was important for when we were talking about them having depression.
Mm-hmm.
When Pat was talking about having depression, and you brought up the fact that we've had the solar eclipse, but we also had a full moon, we had a new moon, we had the solar flare, and then solar eclipse. And that all happened within a month.
Right.
So I've been telling everybody, be just patient. We've had such a huge energy shift in the universe that you're going to feel that anxiety and you don't know what it is. And it actually is because of the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are saying, oh, I feel so tired and I'm just worn out and I can't seem to keep going and what's going on with me? Do I have a problem? And I said, well, except just all of the energy that's coming in.
Yeah.
What it's doing is changing the energy shift will change the energy in your cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so more and more people are going to find, this is my perception anyway, that you're going to find that more and more people are receptive to doing energy work. Because they are going to start clearing, and like you and I have talked about before, cells are becoming crystalline, and that's part of the process. So just drink lots of water, get your rest, eat properly, and just make sure that you keep a very positive outlook and don't spend your time and energy on running yourself down, because that's kind of addictive behavior. To sit there and think negative thoughts about yourself or, you know, to feel negative about yourself. Make sure you are being very aware that your thoughts about yourself is being programmed into yourself. Every once in a while I go through and I'll say to my heart, thank you so much. You have served me so well and I'm grateful to you. Then I go through each organ and my eyes and my hair. I do everything. Why? Because they have served me, and I appreciate each and every part of my body.
It's all very important, and something else that I would say would be helpful with that is if you bathe, to put some sea salt in the water, along with some baking soda and lavender. They are things, the sea salt helps to clear out toxins, which you might be releasing at this time. Lavender is very healing. And, of course, the baking soda helps to put the body in an alkaline state and also works with the clearing too. So I do believe that during these period of time when we're going through such things, soothe the body, pamper the body, take some baths and these sort of things, light some candles, play some beautiful music. All of these things help soothe the body. And the body needs it right now. It needs to be cared for and pampered. So pamper the body and the inner child. If you're feeling stress, know that the body is feeling stress also, and maybe even the inner child. So meditate, go within, speak to the inner child, kind of assure it that everything is okay. The same way with yourself. I know for those of you who might be listening to this program and haven't heard this before, it might seem strange, but the cells do communicate with one another, and they communicate with you. You can communicate with them. They hear your thoughts, and the cells in your body react to your thoughts.
One of the things we do is we look at ourselves in the mirror, and then we criticize all the things we don't like.
True.
Rather than looking at yourself and saying, you know what, Charlene, I really love you. And then go through and say, I appreciate all the things that I have done. And look at the positive. We're so used to doing the negative. But as soon as you turn around and say, oh, I got all these wrinkles on my face. Or look at this, how bad this looks. Or you say, oh, I got such big hips. Without realizing those hips have been carrying you for a number of years. And those bones and the ligaments and tendons. And, you know, I have to study the body. And when I go, I'm in there looking at body parts and the components, which each one of those cells and how they operate, is just an absolute miracle, just a miracle to see how we function. And it's true that the cells within the eyes, there's several types of cells within the eye, and they have to communicate with each other in order to see correctly. So we just have we're just a walking miracle. That's what we are. You know, but we've gotten so addicted to saying the negative about ourselves. So how can you be? You've got to recognize that you're the essence of God's Father and God's Mother. Therefore, you ought to honor what they've created.
Well, I agree with you, Charlene. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I would just like to add that so many times when we as children were growing up, parents, I'm not saying this is true of all families, but there were families where children were severely criticized for everything that they did. And the child looks up to the parent. You know, the parent is this wise one. And that's how the child looks at it. You know, it's their authority. They're there to take care of it. Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers and Charlene McNeil. I suspect that the powers that be thought we should be finished for the day because who knows what happened. This is known as being dropped. The powers that be dropped us. I don't recall what we were talking about, Charlene, but maybe we talked what's important.
Well, let's see. I'd have to put my memory bank back in. Let's see.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
I know.
We're in big trouble. She's got to put her memory banks back. I think we need to talk about something new.
Okay. What would you suggest? I really threw everything off.
Well, let me see.
I don't remember what we were doing.
I don't know what we were doing. Well, come on, folks out there. Give us a hand. Give us a call. Tell us either some of your issues that you have you know, maybe facing a hormonal imbalance or energies that you were triggered with you with the last eclipse of the other recent changes. Also, I like that telephone call that we had from Joy with the pictures that she has been taking. And maybe there are some people out there who have seen these elementals in their own garden.
Recognizing that but it's real, and they're not the only ones seeing them.
Yeah, that you're not delusional.
Because I think that with this, that's what we're talking about. With all the energy shift, I know for sure what we're going to do is have a lot of people that are going to have more of these awarenesses because of the energy shift.
Charlene, we don't have much time here. We have another caller. So what do you say we take this caller, your name caller?
Hi, it's Pat again. Is it okay to call back now?
Oh, yeah, Pat. We're glad you called in, and I forget what the question was that you wanted to call back in.
I was thinking about when I became agoraphobic at 6, and I was wondering if Charlene could look at that. And I went in my body, and I tried to figure out what happened then, and the only thing I can, you know, wonder about is that when the sexual abuse took place. Carolyn, you made me aware that I've never learned how to go in and ask myself questions, and that kind of gave me some hope that maybe I can learn to do that. And
oh, you can. Let me give you a clue. Awareness follows thought. So if you think of something, your awareness just slips right in. And with the awareness being there, you start to become pick up information. So
think of
the body. Some people like to think of the heart beating because they're familiar with how the heart works. Or you might think of the breath going in and out of the body. And so if you follow either one of those two thoughts or something else that you want to think of, you know, the breath goes in the nose and into the lungs, and you know, you can follow that process. Well, when you do that, your thought is there, and your consciousness then joins the thought, and you become aware, and with that, you pick up information. It's so easy, truly. And so you just work with it, and when you get inside the body, there is a subtle shift. When you sit with this after the phone call and you say whatever you choose, the breathing or the beating of the heart or something like that, sit with that for a second and you feel the shift. It's very subtle. But then you know you're inside the body and you can ask the body these questions. The body never lies.
Okay. Yeah, you did have me do that a few weeks ago. I could feel that subtle shift. So I'll try it for questions. Can Charlene look at the agoraphobia? And
sure. Charlene, how about jumping in here, darling?
Okay. Let me go in and what were some of the behavior patterns you had?
The agoraphobia started around 6. I just became very frightened to leave the house, and I then had to hide it my whole life, so I've been under the stress of, you know, keeping it a secret. But I was wondering if that was connected to the sexual abuse that supposedly happened, if that's why the agoraphobia.
I
was ready to ask you that question, if there was sexual abuse. My question.
Let me tell you a little bit about when a child is abused, it's bad enough to have them being abused, but the other thing is the one that is abusing them does not have a positive energy with them. And sometimes I call them, you know, well, whatever. But they're dark entities, okay?
Yes, yes.
And then when they have those dark entities, when they abuse the child, they transfer that one of those entities to that child.
Wow.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes, it does.
So the important thing is to be able to go in and release that transfer.
Uh-huh.
Because you would always be afraid.
Yes.
Because of what was with you at the time.
Yes.
And so that's the hardest part for somebody that's been sexually abused, and then they take on the responsibility from the adult, which the abuser wants the child to feel at fault, to blame, because the abuser will not take responsibility for their behavior. I guess some of them do eventually, but a lot of them do not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's quite a process to have to have that transferred from the abuser to the child, and then reverse it and take that dark entity out.
Do you have time to do anything?
Pardon?
Do you have time to do anything today?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I can't tell you. We have
5 minutes, Charlene. Is 5 minutes enough?
Is 5 minutes enough? Just a minute. He said no, it would take him longer.
Okay.
Because there's more that has to be done with it.
Okay.
Are you still fearful of going out?
I'm sorry?
Are you still fearful of going out?
Well, it's different. I'm much better, but I am a real recluse. I tend not to go out, but it's not fear.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like a habit at this point.
No, it isn't.
No.
It's just you're more courageous.
Yeah,
I've had that when it's been cleared, and they don't have it any time after that.
Yeah, I guess because I learned to hide it so well, it just becomes a natural thing for me.
So it might
All
be
right.
in you.
Should I give you a call, Charlene?
Would you?
Yeah, thanks. Thank you both. Listen, I love you both. Thanks so much.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Some of the processes take a little bit, you know. We're doing
right.
such a short version here that it takes a lot more time usually than that. It's more like 20 minutes for him to get it all done, because you have to go back into past life too. When any time an individual has been usually abused, you'll find it in their past life as well.
Well, I would agree with that, Charlene. And what the bottom line is that fear on any level, no matter where the fear is coming from, is so debilitating.
Definitely. Keeps you from achieving your highest potential.
Really?
Yeah.
And so anybody that's feeling fear on any level, it is something that truly needs to be cleared. And I would just like to mention that to people who might be listening. If you're afraid of anything, and sometimes fears are hidden because you're not willing to face it, fear must be faced, it must be acknowledged, and it must be cleared. It's why it's coming up. In other words, it's so hard to think of it. If you're afraid, it is a blessing in a sense. In this sense, because if you are afraid, it's there for a purpose. It has come up to be cleared.
And then the rest
yeah.
of your fears of other things will resolve at the same time.
So along with fear, there is another thing that is very important also to clear, and that's guilt. And so fear and guilt are two of the most demoralizing drivers, I believe, for the human personality. And if you're feeling guilty about something or you're feeling fear, it's extremely important to clear those two things. We have 2 minutes, Charlene. Real quick, darling, give us your phone number in case someone wants to call you and work with you.
Okay, it's Mountain Standard Time, 801-944-9346.
And I have several websites. One of interest that we've been talking about today is www.metatronminutes.com, where you can order a Lord Metatron Soul Healing, or you can find out information about our conference calls. We have a conference call with Lord Metatron that is most fascinating. And also we have free conference calls. We have one more lined up for the fourth call on the Sacred Geometry Conferences. And after that, Lord Metatron will be starting on another topic. I don't know what topic it'll be, but I'm sure it'll be exciting. And Charlene and I will be on air in 2 weeks, two Saturdays from now. And I have another show coming up in 3 more hours. So if you want to chat with me later, do give us a call and look for us. And so, Charlene, I want to thank you for your outstanding service today in so generously serving humanity and working so beautifully with all of the individuals who have called today. And the only other thing that I have to say is goodbye, everyone. We love you all.
It's been my pleasure. We send you our love.
Yes.
Yeah, God loves you, and so do we.